Talk Radio.
Good day. This is Marcus Jarvis, immigration attorney, located in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Today, we'll be speaking briefly on the recent injunction by a federal judge in Texas, which was subsequently appealed to the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. And to date, there has been no decision. The other section deals with the current DACA. For those of us who are not familiar with DACA, I'll give a brief explanation. On or about June 15, 2012, the President of the United States extended an immigration benefit to individuals called the Dreamers. And it basically says that if you have been in the USA, you're undocumented before June 15, 2007, you're not yet 31 on June 15, 2007, negative, and you're not yet 31 on June 15, 2012, you have graduated from high school or college, you're in school, you have no major crimes, and you had to be age 15 or older at the time, you may apply for what's called DACA. DACA means Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. DACA, that was issued in 2012, continues to be available for individuals today based on the qualifications just mentioned. If you were not age 15 on June 12, 2012, you could not apply. If you were in removal proceedings, you could apply at any age once you met all the other conditions. If all that was left was for you to become age 15, you just would wait out the time, and then as you attain the age of 15, meeting all the other qualifications, you'd apply. Those individuals that were granted the DACA in 2012, some individuals have renewed, and I want to emphasize that individuals who became qualified subsequent to the announcement in 2012, you can still apply today. I know we are all aware that their current litigation as it relates to what I consider to be extended DACA and a new grant for parents of individuals who are either United States citizens or green card holders. Some people refer to them as resident, LPR, green card holder. All mean the same thing, can apply. But the DACA that was granted in 2012 is not on the litigation, and if one is qualified, he or she can still apply for that benefit. A little bit about the state of affairs as it relates to extended DACA and DAPA. On or about November 20th, 2014, the president exercised his authority and granted what's described as DACA, extended DACA, which basically says that if you're in the USA, as a young child, you had to be in the USA before the age of 16. You should have been in the US on or before January 1, 2010. There's no ceiling on the extended DACA as the previous grant of DACA. You have no major crimes, no felony, no major misdemeanors, or not multiple misdemeanors. You may qualify for what's called the extended DACA. And that grant of extended DACA should have been available on or about February 18, 2015. Anyway, I believe 26 states, Texas being the lead state, decided to file an action and ask the judge presiding over the case to issue an injunction until the substance of the case can be decided. The judge granted such a request, and the United States government made an appeal. The judge in Texas has not made a decision, or I believe his decision was that he's going to keep the injunction in place. So the United States government made an appeal to Big Brother, Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. DAPA, which relates to parents, should have come on board on or about May 18th, I believe, 2015, and that is a part of the litigation. The Fifth Circuit decided it was going to invite the United States government and the state of Texas and others to make oral arguments before the Fifth Circuit. Those arguments were held on 17th April 2015 in New Orleans, Louisiana, where the Fifth Circuit sits. The Fifth Circuit has not made a determination whether or not it's going to lift the injunction that was placed by the Texas judge. We don't know what's going to happen today as it relates to extended DACA and DAPA. The only thing I recommend is that individuals who may qualify should probably spend this time to put his or her documents in order. I recommend that you try to get documents going back to 2009. Maybe individuals would not have a document placing them in the USA on January 1, 2010. I know on a New Year's Day, I personally wouldn't be saying, well, you know, something may happen, I better get something showing that I was in the USA on 1-1-2010. So my recommendation, if you start in 2009, I think there's a rebuttable presumption that you were here on January 1, 2010. I would also get documents up to 2015. You should continue accumulating documents. I think you present a better case to show that you have not left the USA during that since 1-1-2010 to today is 4-19-2015. Individuals who have, let's say, some minor crimes, I would also get copies of, certified copies of the disposition in those situations. I will digress and explain how the law works as it relates to crime and bring it to a close. Generally, anytime you encounter law enforcement, some sort of number is issued. It's a report you generated, even though the report didn't go anywhere, you have a number. If they take you and detain you for a while, maybe take your picture, take your fingerprints, they issue a charge. Having a charge does not mean that you're convicted. This country is based on the premise that you're innocent until proven guilty. The state has to prove your guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. You do not have to prove your innocence. Actually, the Fifth Amendment says that you have a right not to be a witness against yourself. And so you don't even have to testify in court to help the prosecution or give them information to help them. So keep that in mind, that you have a right not to be a witness against yourself. You if you get intercepted by law enforcement, they may ask you for your ID. If you don't have it, you need to correctly state your name and date of birth. Beyond that, you keep your mouth closed. Anyway, when you're charged with a crime, it could be dismissed. A dismissal could be where the prosecutor finds that he or she does not have enough evidence to support his or her claim against you. You could also go to trial. A trial is usually by a judge or jury. as the fact finder, and that will determine your guilt or innocence. If you decide that you're going to enter into a guilty plea is a conviction. If you go to trial by judge or by jury and you lose, well, you'll have a conviction. So the disposition in a case could be a dismissal or a conviction. So I'm saying that you need to go to your respective court, whether it's state or federal, and you need to obtain those records. So you bring them to your attorney so that the attorney can evaluate those records and help you make a determination whether you should apply for the previously granted DACA and the extended DACA, which is in litigation, and also the DAPA for parents that is also in litigation. This is Marcus Chavez. I'm an immigration attorney and business attorney. We are located in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota at 3621 85th Avenue North, Suite 201, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, 55443. Our phone number is 763-425-5447. I have been practicing since 2002, and I've seen a lot of immigrants make some mistakes that caused them to be deported. And I decided that I was going to write what's called a simple guide to the immigration laws of the United States. You can visit my website at www.a-tbooks.com, and that site tells you where you can obtain a copy of the book. The book is in 6 languages: English, Spanish, French, German, Italian, Portuguese, in as ebook application. Also, the book is available as a print book in Spanish and in English. And you may purchase the book directly from Amazon, or you can give us a call at 763-425-5447 and we'll make arrangements to get out a book for you. We'll pay the shipping cost. There's a cost for the book. The more you buy, I can give more of a discount. So check us out and get a book and keep abreast with the immigration laws. The way I feel, it's to buy a book for less than $30 versus paying an attorney $5,000, $10,000, maybe $15,000 or more to help you stay in the U.S. and the book is well worth it. So check out the book and get knowledgeable. The book is not intended for you to, you know, do it yourself, but it's enough to whet your appetite so that if you go to an attorney for consultation, you're at least in a position to ask intelligent questions as it relates to your issues. We will close our episode for today. Thank you for listening. I know you may be able to pick up this broadcast on Facebook and on Twitter. So continue to support us and listen to the program. Thank you for listening.